Welcome to JGL Law For You. JGL Law For You is a podcast by lawyers, but not for lawyers only. On JGL Law For You, we will be discussing a wide array of topics to help you navigate the many legal processes, developments in the law, other current events, and how they may affect you, your family, or your business. Today, I have my law partner, Lindsay Parvis, and we're here to talk about a difficult time for a lot of people. And Lindsay, who has been practicing family law for more than 20 years, focuses her practice on navigating some of life's biggest challenges, divorce, custody, domestic violence, and financial matters like alimony, child support, and property division. But today we're here to talk about kids going back and forth, the challenges that families face during Thanksgiving and during the holidays as a whole. And it is a challenge for people. Welcome aboard, Lindsay. Let's dig into it. How are you today?
I'm doing well, and I'm glad to be back. Thanks.
We're glad to have you. It's always good to have a topic that I have some familiarity with. You know, sometimes I speak with folks and I have to study. It feels like I'm back in law school. But today I have a little bit of familiarity with what we're going to talk about. But I do want to, let's get right to where you have two homes. You have parents and kids, you know, bouncing back and forth. Talk a little bit about logistics, about transitions, the problems, and how you would suggest that people solve those problems.
Sure thing. So the first thing I invite people to think about is whether or not you are separated parents who have minor children together, right? So you've got kids together and there are holiday logistics, or if you don't have children together. And so for those parents who have kids, it's not likely that you're going to, now that you've separated, celebrate the holidays together. Right. So what that means is the kids are likely to be spending their time with one parent or one parent's family or the others. So I encourage you, first of all, to help make things easier, to identify disconnects and potential problems in advance, to confirm your holiday parenting time, including when parenting time is starting, when it's ending, and where the handoff of the kids is going to happen. Because this is usually different from whatever regular schedule parents are following.
It can be communication is a key here, right? You know, it's not only what you say, how you say it, but also the timing of things. The last thing I think you want to be doing, right, Lindsay, is sending a note to your co-parent at 5 o'clock as they're sitting down at dinner and saying, I'll be there at 8 to pick the kids up.
100%. And you don't want it to be that one parent is at the transition location with the kids and the other parent hasn't shown up because they didn't confirm plans in advance. The people who lose out the most in that situation are the kids. So doing a little planning ahead for these not regular schedule holidays that are so important can really pay off.
Let me ask you about that. So, and let's talk about the timing. Now, of course, we're very close to the Thanksgiving holiday, and some people may not have had the opportunity to do what I'm going to ask you about. But how far in advance do you think it's important for parents to connect with each other and communicate in terms of, you know, what the when the transitions are and what they're going to look like?
Well, there's actually a lot to unpack in my thinking about that. And it doesn't just apply to Thanksgiving. It applies to any holiday. So we're looking at winter holidays coming up, and then there will be springtime, and then it just keeps going, right? But the way I think about it is for parents who do not have a formal schedule in place, the sooner the better, because getting in touch well ahead of time, I would say at least 30 days before the holiday, to see, are you on the same page about the holiday schedule or not, when you don't have something in writing about it, can alert you early enough that we aren't on the same page, and then start identifying options and tapping into resources to help get you on the same page. And for parents who have a written document that tells them what the holiday schedule is, there are a couple of factors to think about how far in advance. I mean, number one, I'm a compulsive planner. So I always like to reach out and confirm things at least 30 days in advance. But if nobody's traveling and there's nothing unusual about the holiday schedule, and you're just planning on following what's in the agreement, doing something like 2 weeks or a week before that just makes sure you're on the same page is probably all that's needed. But if there are important logistics involved, like travel, or maybe there's something out of the ordinary, or if it's really important that the transition happen at the specific time and location because of what happens next, then reaching out earlier, again, like 30 days ahead of time or as soon as you're making your travel plans, will help you smooth out any hiccups with that.
Sure. Let's talk about the parents in the two homes. And let's start with the parent who may have the kids with them on a particular holiday. What should that parent be mindful of? And also, how should that parent handle if one or more of the children wants to reach out to the parent who isn't exercising parenting time during that particular holiday?
Right. Well, for the parent who's celebrating with the kids, I invite them to be present and really spend time with your kids. Your kids only get to be in one place at one time and with one parent at one time. So when they're with you, that means they're not with the other parent and with the other parent's family. So really engaging with them can make the holidays incredibly meaningful for them. And supporting the kids, if the kids want to touch base with the other parent, as long as there's not a court order or a legal document that restricts contact, because sometimes that happens. But if there aren't those restrictions in place, if the kids want to communicate with the other parent around holidays, going above and beyond really is kid-focused. It's not about taking away from your parenting time or shifting their focus to the other parent. It's about the kids and where they are on the holidays and really trying to support them and their relationship.
And when you talk about being present, and I talk about this with my clients as well, you know, we live in an electronic society. There's football on Thanksgiving Day. People are looking at their phones. Kids are playing video games and so forth. One of the things I tell my clients to do is to shut that stuff off and do an activity together. You know, maybe it's we're going to make apple pie together. We're going to cook the turkey together. And everybody is sort of invested in the meal together. And that sort of gets, I think, to where you're talking about, which is to appreciate and be in the moment with your family during the holiday. Of course, you should be all the time, but particularly at these types of times.
Yeah, those are great ideas. And exactly what I'm thinking of. You must be reading my mind.
Well, you know, I try to take good notes and prepare myself in advance. But I think it's very easy for people to get sidetracked in the normal course of business. And you and I have represented clients for many years going through divorce. And it's one thing to want something, right? I want Thanksgiving. I want every other weekend. But it's something entirely different to have it. And that's what I think people, I'm sure that you speak with them about. Okay, so you negotiated this agreement. You've got Thanksgiving. Let's not plop them on the couch doing nothing, because the next thing you're going to hear, right, is that they want to go be with the other parent. And you got to be active and involved with them.
Oh, yeah, that's a real possibility, right? So the parents who are checked out, the kids will pick up on that. And they'll want to spend more time with the parent who's engaged. Or the flip side of it is, not to get gloom and doom, is sometimes the parent who's really checked out, the kids want to spend more time with, because the kids kind of have no rules, no guidelines, and they get to do whatever they want. And that can also create some future co-parenting stresses about differences in the home, and then also potentially set the kids up for getting in trouble or really having bigger struggles. But that's not what we're focused on right now, fortunately. Yeah. A little more on holiday. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a discussion for another day. Yeah, yeah. But so what advice do you give to the parent, you know, the client who says, I've never been without my kids on Thanksgiving. I've never not had them. And now they're going to be with the other parent for the weekend, maybe not just for the day, but maybe for the whole Thanksgiving weekend. What do you tell those folks?
Yeah, so my thoughts for those parents are the same as for a couple who's separated and they don't have kids, but like you don't know what to do. Maybe you've always spent the holiday with your spouse's family, or you've always spent the holiday with mutual friends, and maybe you don't have those mutual friends anymore. So my advice is the same. Don't just stay home alone. Like, make sure that you're doing something and you're taking care of yourself. Because taking care of yourself when you're away from your kids or when you're away from your loved ones also means you're better able to care for them when they are around. And if you're really at a loss for what to do, I'm a big believer in just getting yourself out there and maybe stretching yourself, but volunteering to help others over the holiday. Because if you're around other people, I think that sense of community will help folks not feel quite so alone.
I think you mentioned two things that are very important there. One is the idea of self-care. You know, we talk about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. If anybody took psychology out there, we all know what that is. But if you talk about it in terms of an individual and in a relationship and a family, you can't be the best parent that you need to be if you're not taking care of yourself, which is what you alluded to. And also this idea of community, I think, is really important, particularly in this context of a parent who now is sharing holidays, who's used to having their children all the time over the holidays and on the breaks. And now all of a sudden, it's half that time. And I think your suggestion about community makes a lot of sense, which is to try to find maybe new things to do, come up with new traditions, which you mentioned to me earlier. And I think that's a terrific idea.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because things won't be the same. So trying to make future holidays look the same as they did before, I don't know how that happens, and I don't see clients having an easy time doing that. I also think that when parents get stuck on trying to keep things so much the same, for the parent who's not celebrating, it's really hard, I think, to sometimes put themselves in their kids' shoes. Going back to something I said earlier, like their kids only get to be in one place at one time and with one parent. And it's not like for most kids that the kids get to decide the schedule, right? So the parents are deciding the schedule, the kids got to go. So instead of, for the parent who's not spending holidays with the kids, instead of them telling their kids how much they're going to miss them and how much they wish, you know, they could be with their kids, or how much they wish their kids would get to do things with their family over the holidays or do the things that you usually do, that's really putting a lot of pressure on your kids. It's creating a loyalty conflict for the kids as between the two parents. My recommendation there is really tell them to have a great time and let go. And maybe a final thought on this, back to something you were talking about, David, is that when parents are in an intact family, they have these shared responsibilities. And it's this very fluid place where it's not all that often that you're truly 100% responsible for your kids and that you have 100% of your kids' time, right? But when parents separate, they don't have their kids all the time, but when they do have their kids with them, that is 100% time. And that's a real change. And I think if parents can focus on that, like, this is an opportunity for me to really have 100% time with my kids, that can help carry them through these times when they're not with their kids, but recognizing, hey, my kid gets to have 100% time with their other parent. Now it's, and I know they'll have a turn to have 100% time with me.
And it presents its own challenges for parents who are used to sharing the responsibilities, and particularly until we talk about the holidays, right? Used to sharing responsibilities. You know, I'm cooking, you're cleaning up, I'm doing this, you're doing that. But there's no more of that. We're doing it together. And it gets back to what you said before, which I think is investing the kids into this new way of life for them.
Mm-hmm. new way of life. And that is what opens the door for new traditions. And that's what really calls for a parent when they do have time with their kids to really be present with their kids. You know, it kind of ties it all together. I think, yeah.
We have two parents. One parent celebrates a particular holiday. The other parent doesn't. But in this year, the kids are with me and I don't really celebrate this holiday, but my kids are used to celebrating it. What do you tell that parent to do? I mean, should they just go about their business and not and ignore the holiday, or should they try to make it more what their children are used to?
I encourage them to find ways to honor that holiday on their own scheduled parenting time. And if that truly cannot be done, then encourage the kids to have a fantastic time with the other parent. Support the kids' time with the other parent, recognizing that when they have their own parenting time, they will get to honor those holidays and celebrate those holidays with their kids. And that kind of comes back to that 100% idea. When it's their turn, then they get to do it kind of fully and 100% and being really present with their kids. And maybe even more so than when they were in an intact family and trying to help mesh different religions, different holidays, and different perspectives together.
Just to sort of dovetail onto that, I think parents need to understand that for me, and I've been doing this for a long time, this was always the worst time of the year to do the work that we do because there was so much stress. And that, you know, I started out long before people were using computers and phones and texting and emailing and so forth. You know, they were phone calls. And it was an incredibly stressful time for parents because of this division that you're talking about, this whole new way of doing things. And frankly, there for a couple of years, I'll be honest with you, I just stopped taking calls from about the 23rd of December until the 2nd of July, figuring that people are going to figure it out somehow. I don't do that anymore, but there was a while I couldn't do what we do. My head was going to explode. But I think what you're talking about, and I'd like you to talk a little bit more about, is that people need to understand that as much stress as you as an adult might feel, that is magnified over and over and over again when you're talking about someone whose brain isn't developed like a child.
Oh, so interesting. I was talking with an expert in emotional intelligence yesterday, and she was sharing with me, perhaps this is not where you were expecting the answer to go, but she was talking about the phrase, I think, has negative context to it, but emotional contagion, that emotions are contagious and that we're hardwired to pick up and experience the emotions of others. And David, that's what's coming to my mind. Like when parents are in this place of really hard emotions and they're really struggling with them over the holidays, no matter how much you may try to hide it or not, your kids are going to pick up on it and they're going to absorb it and experience it too. And so I'm interested to hear your thoughts, David. To my mind, the more emotionally grounded a parent can be during the holidays, whether it's their holiday or not, the more grounded experience their kids are going to have and the better able their kids will be able to really experience, be present, be joyful, or whatever is appropriate for the holiday, really emotionally connect with that holiday.
I think that's 100% right. And although I don't think I ever used the term before, certainly emotions are contagious, particularly when it comes from parent to child, is what I've seen, not only just during the holidays, but at other times as well. You know, if you're mad, if you're sad, if you're angry, you know, kid gets that and understands it and can feel the same way, but doesn't understand why they feel that way. And in the holidays, like you're talking about, it is so important, it seems to me, to convey this sense of we're together and we're enjoying ourselves being together. We're not together because we have to be. We're not you know, we're not doing things that we don't want to do. We're doing things that we want to. And that gets back to what you talked about, which is building new traditions, doing new things together. And I mentioned about telling folks to do, cook the turkey together, make an apple pie with your six-year-old. You know, it's going to make a big mess and it's going to come out terrible, but who cares? You're right. But I think this is really important. And although we're running out of time, I'd like you to summarize, if you could, some real bits of advice to these folks. If there's soundbite things, and you know, we live in a soundbite world, right? So what would you tell the people sitting out there? They're on the precipice of exercising their Thanksgiving weekend with their children, or they're not, and winter is coming and Christmas break is coming. What would you tell folks that they can take away easily and that they can remember on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, so my suggested takeaways: confirm the holiday logistics in advance with the other parent, especially because you may not be used to parent-to-parent transitions if the exchanges usually happen from school or from daycare, right? So confirm the time and the logistics. Prioritize your kids. Really be present if you're the parent who has holiday time with your kids. If you're not the parent who has holiday time, tell your kids to have a fantastic time and make sure that you have a plan for yourself so that you feel replenished and recharged, even if that means going out and volunteering your time and helping supporting others. And be open to new traditions, whether you're the parent who's celebrating with your kids this year or whether you're the parent who's not.
Oh, excellent advice. Great gems. And folks, if you have some questions, and we're getting close to Thanksgiving, we also have, as I said, winter break is coming. And Lindsay, there are going to be problems. You know, you and I both know that. So what's the best way for folks to get hold of you if they want to try to get some assistance in dealing with these issues during the holidays?
They can reach out by phone, and that's 240-399-7900. How about you, David?
We're not talking about me. We're talking about you. And I'd rather they call you, actually. So we're
I'll take your holiday call.
Fair enough. As always, Lindsay, it's been a pleasure, folks. Thanks for listening. We hope you come back again next time. This is JGL Law for You.